Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we doing, my baby?
Yes. Set up from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby. You've always held it down. Oh yeah.
Nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we doing, my baby?
Yes. Set up from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
All right, all
All right. You know what? I just love that Jaheim song. It is Thursday night. Must be Thursday night. I'm your host, KL Belvin. You are listening to Reality and Relationships on GQ Palace Radio every Thursday night from 8 to 10. My lovely wife and I try to bring you our spin on relationships in every form or fashion. We talk about a little bit of everything. We try to look at relationships from various points of view, not just relationships to dating relationships, but social relationships, relationships with your child, relationships at work, all different types. And this is what we do. But tonight, like 2 weeks ago, I am going solo. My lovely wife is in Atlanta trying to win a national crown in the pageant that she is in, and I wish her well. And she just started orientation today. In the next couple of days, she's going to put her best foot forward and try to bring home the crown for New York. She is Miss New York, full plus America. I always get jammed up if she listens. She's going to punch me in the head. But, yeah, she's representing New York and Mrs. Plus America. And so she's down in Atlanta making it happen. So we're going to send a shout-out to her and wish her well. Listen, just being there, she's following her dream. So I'm proud of her. She's a winner with me, whether she wins or not. But I'm thinking positive, and I want to see her come home with the crown. I am KL Belvin, and we are going to have some fun tonight. And I'm not going to – I posted about the subject tonight, but before I get into the subject, we're just going to catch up on some things that's been going on. If you've listened to the show before, you know my wife and I normally catch up on what our weeks have been like. So I'm going to basically just share my week with you. Again, this is the second week of testing with the New York City Public Schools. They're doing the math test this week. Last week it was the English language arts test. This week it is the mathematics test. And I have to honestly say, I'm not a big fan of testing. I don't like that the test causes anxiety in our children. They're under enough pressure. But I do understand that there has to be some type of tool to measure a million and a half children or 1.1 or whatever it is in the New York City school system. I just don't think the test should have all of the weight of a child going to the next grade. I believe it should be 50-50. 50% of that should come from the test. The other 50 should be from the teachers who are actually teaching the children. But that's just my opinion. New York City Department of Education doesn't see it that way. So if your child doesn't do that well on the exam, they may have to go to summer school and take a different version of the test to get them to the next grade. So I wish every child that is taking the test this week and every parent who is under the stress of dealing with that child who's taking the test, I wish you all well. It's been a real interesting week. I've been doing a ton of reading. Last week, as Tiffany said, I had a business meeting with a relationship guru. And it's funny when two folks who do a relationship show sit down with a person who deals with relationships as his main gig. We had some real interesting conversation going back and forth. But he sparked a fire in me, and it really made me look deeper at myself and consider the things that I haven't done. It's very easy to rest on your laurels on the things that you've accomplished and pat yourself on the back and say, well, I've gotten here and I've gotten here. But the real question is, are you really where you should be? And have you used all of your talents to their most potential? And I think once you really take a step back and you see that there may be some left on the table, we got some work to do. And so for myself, this whole week, I've been really taking a mental and spiritual look at myself and considering what avenues do I need to consider and what avenues do I need to change. And it was not pretty. Anytime you do any type of self-reflection, anytime that you sit down and can take an inventory of who you really are, there's going to be some things that you may not want to deal with or even consider, but you have to if you're going to be the complete person and be the person that God intended you to be. I'm a spiritual dude, and when I realize that I have not been using the talents that the Lord gave me to the best of my degree, it didn't sit well with me. And so I am looking to make some very pertinent changes over the next coming months. Actually, I am going to make some changes over the next coming months, business-wise. So there'll be some changes with Raven Publishing. Tiff and I are working on some personal changes within our marriage. You know, we're doing real good, but we just want to add some things to the marriage that's going to take it to another level. Personally, I have some things that I have to just stare in the face and tackle whether I want to deal with it or not. And it has to do with my writing, has to do with health, everything. And so I just really am going to dig in. And then some things with my career. You know, all of you that have been listening know I'm a career educator. I'm also a writer, publisher, and I wear a lot of hats. Well, some of those hats are going to have to come off because I had to really sit down and look at that some of those hats have not been profitable. In essence, inside my head, oh, they were fantastic ideas, but you also have to look at the tangible results. And I don't care how great an idea is, if the results are hurting other aspects of your life, you might need to put that on hold or reevaluate like I'm doing and then change the way you go about tackling it. So that's what I'm going to do. And so I've been checking out the Stephen Covey 7 Habits of the Servant People. One of those ones. Oh, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Actually, it's a great read, as well as I went for professional development, and the kid is actually pretty good too. But one thing I want to share with everybody tonight before we get into tonight's topic is something very simple but can be very meaningful to you. And it's C. It's actually C, do, get. And what that means is the way that you think affects how you see things, which then affects what you do or how you choose to do it, which then, of course, creates an outcome or result. So if you don't change the way you see things, then you'll continue to do the same things, you'll continue to get the same results. So you have to have a paradigm shift. We talked about it last week. And I am seeing tremendous changes just in that little switch that I flipped in this last week. And just by adding a few little things differently to the way that I see things and the way that I'm attempting to do things, I can already see the results starting to turn towards the positive. So now it's just an opportunity to do more. So other than that, the week has been great. Of course, it's never a good time when the wife is away for so many days. But, you know, I'll fill my time and I'll find things to do. I'm sitting here getting some stuff together. House is clean. Not by me, because, you know, I hate cleaning. But it is what it is. So let me get ready to put tonight's topic on the table. Tonight, we're going to talk about child support. And child support is always a touchy subject because when you're speaking of parents, caregivers, whoever, children, and money, and then you toss in the courts, it can make for a very explosive situation. Now, I am not going to attempt to try to judge situations, because every situation has its own life, has its own boundaries and things that have been crossed, things that have been done right, things that have been wrong. But there's some things that I'm going to bring to the table as a person that has a working knowledge in this area. Not only have I dealt with my own child support cases, you know, if you read my book, From Gigolo to Jesus, it's available on Raven Publishing. Yes, it's Shameless Plug Thursday. But if you read my book, From Gigolo to Jesus, you know that I have multiple children with multiple women, and it's not something I'm proud of. It's just a fact. So judge me any way that you choose. But I have dealt with family court on numerous times here in New York and in Virginia. And the one thing I can say, in the 6 or 7 times that I have walked into family court in 2 different states, is that I have not walked out a loser. Now, I don't say that for you to be impressed with me. I say that to let you know that I go into court prepared for everything that I'm dealing with and making sure that I know what I'm saying, that I ask the right questions, and I am tempered, under control, when I walk in. I also had a job last February. No, I started working last March when I took a leave of absence from the Board of Ed last year. And I was working as a life coach, where my job was to work with young men the ages 24 to 39 who who were dealing with their own court situations, who were mandated by the courts for what they call supervised visits. They could only see their children in a supervised arena with a social worker, and I was their life coach, so I had to sit down and interpret what the judge would say to them or was saying to them about their case and how to be able to help them get their head straight to go into court and at least balance things out. So we're going to talk about it, look at it from different points of view to see how we can, you know, maybe I can give you some information that you can use. So if you have a gentleman or a young lady that's dealing with some negative situations with their significant other, male, female, whatever, and there's money issues and there's court issues, tell them to tune in. Because for the next hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, this is what we're going to deal with. And we're going to look at it. I'm going to give you some websites. I'm going to try to give you some basic information. And then we're just going to talk about what that court experience looks like, what it can be, what it's not. I think too many folks watch too much television, and they believe that court is like Law and Order, and it's not. They also listen to their friends who believe that they have all the answers when it comes to family court, child support. And again, a lot of it is on misinformation. And they may be going on their own cases, but their cases may not be the same as your case. So you got to be very careful in how you put this into motion. And there's also some things that you can maybe do before you even get to court that could work between the two of you. So courts is not even involved. But unfortunately, we do know that once things have gotten negative and children are involved, feelings and tempers get to such a high level, it makes sitting down and having honest exchanges something very difficult to do. So my hope that I can answer some questions. And also remember, if you're listening from the computer, you can always call in at 646-200-3838. Just press the number 1 if you want to speak to the host, if you have a question or you want to comment anything. If you're listening in from your phone, all you have to do is press the number 1. Give the host your information. The host will let me know that you're on, and we can have a dialogue and discuss it. If you want to talk about your own case, the only thing that I'm asking tonight is when you call in, I do not want a bash session on women. I do not want a bash session on men. So if that's what you're calling in for, tonight's not the night. I'm not the dude, because that gains nobody anything. Doesn't help a child. Doesn't help your significant other. Doesn't help you. If you have legitimate questions, I'll answer based on as much information that I can get you or that I know. And if I need to give you my email address and we can talk away from the show, fine. If you need some counseling help, if you have a gentleman who just can't see to get himself together with his children and he needs some type of influence, well, my book, From Gigolo to Jesus, is available on my website. It'll definitely help. Or you can have him contact me and we can sit down and discuss things. If you have a young lady who's just bitter, or she's confused, or just has questions, whatever, and have her reach out to me too, and we can sit down and talk, because it's about getting help. It's about looking at the situation and creating the best situation for the children. As crazy as that's what the court is trying to do. The court is attempting to do the best for the child, and there's something to that. A lot of folks don't realize that, especially a lot of men. They go charging into court, and then when things don't go the way that they thought it was going to be, they're calling the woman every name and everything. Oh, you, it's not that. And we'll get into that also. So, why wait? Let's start. All right. Let's look at child support itself. Child support is exactly what it is. It is support from one parent to the other parent to assist the parent who the child is living with, to assist them in taking care of the child. So I want to speak to the men first. Stop saying you put me on child support. Let's get the terminology right. The support is there for your child. So male or female, if you have a child out there that you don't have an arrangement in place, you played yourself. So if you got to go to court, okay. But what it is, it's support for your child. Stop trying to make it something negative. Stop trying to make it something brutal. We'll get to that, because it can be depending. Now, that's what the courts look at. Non-custodial parent. Well, the non-custodial parent is the parent who does not live with the child. Custodial parent, the parent who has care of the child, who the child lives with. So you first need to understand that. Whoever the child lives with is going to have the greater rights because they have the responsibility of the child. Don't try to twist it. Don't try to think because you live here and your child lives there, you're an active everything in that child's life. You may be a great influence in your child's life. But the person who has the day-to-day, the day and night, the everyday, the 24 hours, the cooking and cleaning, whoever that person is, male or female, they are the custodial parent. They are the parent who has the initial say-so. Not all of it, but the initial, because they're the person technically raising the child in their home. You also cannot dictate how the custodial parent is raising your child unless they are harming the child, hurting the child. You're Christian and she wants to raise the child as Muslim? Y'all can talk about it. But she has the right or he has the right to do so. And when the child is with you, if you want to use the faith the way that you do it, that's fine. But y'all need to sit down and talk about it because she or he can do what they do inside their home. And unless the child is being hurt, there's not too much you can do. And I'm speaking before you even get to court, that you got to understand what the roles are. And it is extremely important that you know what your role is. If you're not going to be there, now I'm going to speak to the fellas. If you're not going to be there with your child's mother, you gave up certain rights. You gave up certain say-sos in your child's life. Deal with it. Don't try to, because you're physically stronger, intimidate her to do what you want her to do in her house. That's wrong and illegal. If the roles are reversed, ladies, if for every reason the child is with the father, do not do the same thing. Try to intimidate. Try to mentally sway the child one way or the other because you gave up certain rights. Those rights are the father's to do what he wants to do. You also can't dictate, male or female, who is around your child unless there's something that you believe is negative going on. Because if the father or the mother has not proven that there's anything negative, the child is not in any danger, yes, the father or mother is going to date. But they hopefully are smarter than just having anybody around the children. But that's a show for another day. Because Tiff and I can basically talk about how it took a while before she even met my son when we first started dating. That's a whole other show. But you know, that can actually come up in court, too. Because if it becomes something negative, all that information can be used and played out in family court. But again, it's something that the judge will make it a designation. But we're trying to talk about the financial aspect today. So now, before it gets in the hands of the judge, before papers are filed, anything like that, you two should have some type of agreement or make an attempt at some type of financial agreement before it even goes to court. If you're giving her $50, you're giving her $75, you're giving her whatever you want to give and she's accepting it and y'all are cool with that, then you need to put something down in writing. You shouldn't be scared to ask, can we document this? You should not be paying with cash. There should be some form of documentation, some form of an attempt at documentation. Now, you can't make anybody sign anything, but you can show that you made offers, that you made attempts, that you asked to sit down to discuss, or you sent paperwork and said, all I'm asking you to do is, if it's notarized, that I give you this amount. And the best thing is try to do it when things is cool. If it's not cool, hey, it's not cool. That's why you go to court. But you need to put these things in place for the child's benefit. The less that the child has to see you stressed with going to court, back and forth. All right? also, let me speak to the ladies. Ladies, stop saying, I'm not going to court because I don't need his money. Stop it. It's not about you needing his money. Then you go to court or you set something up with him simply because, one, your child deserves it, and it's their money. If the father doesn't want to acquiesce and give in, that's another reason why you go to court. That's another reason why you allow a judge to put the things in place that's necessary. So he has to deal with the city of New York, who has greater resources than you could ever have, from hunting them down to paternity to whatever. And they can take the money if he decides he wants to play games or she wants to play games. Again, it goes to whoever the custodial parent is. And so stop saying that the child doesn't need it. So I'm speaking directly to the ladies because I've had a lot of women friends that I sit down and talk with, and it's like they feel as if they're begging. No. Or he should want to take care of his child. Well, you know what? Many of us dudes are really screwed up. Many women are screwed up. And when it comes down to the relationship ending, for some, in that relationship, man, they want to disconnect themselves completely. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's real interesting, and I hope that you never actually have to go and see it. But if you have ever been to family court, or the next time you go, or you ain't got nothing to do, just go to family court, they'll let you in. Look at how people look so angry. And look at how you'll see women one side, men on the other side, and everybody's sitting across from each other, but they're all in the vicinity of each other. But I understand why the bailiffs have guns. It is a very tense place. Because anytime money is involved, it changes the way people act. It changes the way people think. It changes the way people feel about each other and their children. Every time I've gone to court, I see a tense situation with other folks. Now, I'm going to tell you how I remain calm later on. I don't stress it. It's going to be what it's going to be. But also, planning helps take away some of that stress. But I'm going to say this, and I keep saying it, and I'm going to say it, it's going to be an overall thing before tonight. If you can, with the child's mother or father, attempt to get things worked out before. Try to come to some agreement. Be honest about what the child needs in terms of medical, in terms of dental, any other child care costs, if they're in child care, if they're in daycare. But these are the things that you can work out ahead of time. And if you do and have it documented, it can help you later on. Male or female? Now, predominantly, we know that more females go to court than males, and it's sad, but it is what it is. And men, please understand that the courts are not used to many of us going and being proactive, so you have to be calm and you have to be prepared. But understand that the judges are dealing with crazy all day. So please get yourself prepared and know what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. Please go over the information. Do a little research. It's worth it. So as we come up on the first half an hour, we got a long way to go. We got an hour and a half to go. We're going to take a break. You know, take our two-song break, listen to music. And when we come back, we're going to look at exactly how the courts are set up, exactly what amounts would be due, and some things that the custodial parent might not know. And we can look at the court experience itself. This is Reality in Relationships. This is Thursday night. I am your host, K.L. Belvin. I wish my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, was here, but she's not. She's in Atlanta doing her thing. But you got me tonight. So, again, if you want to call in, 646-200-3838. Just press 1 to speak to the host. I would love to hear from you. And we'll be back in two songs.
If you
right, we are back. Shout out to GQ Palace Radio DJs. They always play the best music. Sometimes I have to get them on the air back here doing my thing. This is Reality and Relationships. I'm your host, KL Belvin, and we are back and talking about child support. Now, remember, callers, if you want to come in and speak to me and or just whatever, make sure that you dial 646-200-3838. Just press 1. The host will take your information, and you can get on if you have a comment. Just remember, tonight is not about bashing. It is about information. And, yes, sometimes the subject can get heated when talking about money because, you know, it's the court's job to get that money. And it can get rough. And they ain't playing. They don't care if you got a brand new house, car, whatever. You owe that bread, you got to pay it. And also, don't wait and think, I'm going to wait to see if he or she going to get a good job, and then I'm going to take them because then they got to pay me all that back child support. No, they did away with that. It'll start from whenever you go. So you want to wait till your child is 20, you'll get it for a year. We have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You want to let folks know your name? Who are you?
This is your loving wife, Tiffany Braxton Dolman.
Calling in
Hi,
from
honey.
Atlanta. I hope you got all the pageant queens around the phones listening, tuned in. Is that happening?
Actually, no. I had to step away for a moment because we're having a pizza party right now, so it would have been way too noisy. But if you like, I can go back in.
Pizza party. Pizza party. You're supposed to grab a couple of ladies and come in and say, yo, I had this conversation. My husband's on the air, but okay. What's up, darling?
Nothing much. I'm enjoying it very much. The ladies are wonderful. We had orientation today. We had a little bit of rehearsal, and we got to introduce ourselves. So I'm excited. I wish you could be here with me.
How's that hamstring?
The hamstring was doing okay, but, you know, I had to put some shoes on for the first time in over a week. And I started to feel a little something, but nothing bad. And I put some flats back on. So I'm comfortable. I'm going to put on some Aspirin cream, wrap my leg up for rehearsal, and I'll be good.
That stinking Aspirin cream, that stuff stinks. And don't bring it back home with you. You better find something else, Tiger Balm or something. That stuff stinks.
You know, because of you, I asked my roommate, because, you know, I'm rooming with one of the queens. I asked her first before I pulled it out, do you have any problem with being gay? And she said no. So, of course, I put it on.
Yeah, because it's rough. But anyway, that's just me. But no, it's good to hear. I'm glad that you called in. Did you get a chance to listen to anything I was talking about, or are you just calling in blindly?
No, I did not get a chance. And listen, I just pulled in just now because I stole a minute. But while I have you, I want you to speak to a couple of very important people in the pageant. And I just want you guys to know that you're going to be on the radio show because I'm standing in front of them now.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, it's your show too. Let them rock. Just tell me who I'm talking to.
The first piece person I'm putting on is the director of American Beauties Plus. Her name is Angela Howard.
Angela
okay.
Howard? Howell or Howard? Hello?
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
This is Angela.
How you doing, Angela? How's it going tonight?
I'm doing great. It's going great. Oh.
Excellent, excellent. So you have my lovely wife down there. See, I'm not going to try to get no inside tips or pointers. So, you know, I'm going to let it be straight up and up enough so I can't say too much. I'm a husband. I'm biased.
Yeah, you should be.
So, Angela, why don't you tell all our listeners who you are and what you do and what's going on this weekend also?
Okay. I am Angela Howell. I am the director of American Beauties Plus. It's a plus-size pageant for full-figured women. And we are having our 8th annual pageant this weekend, and it started off today with, you know, orientation, getting the girls, you know, telling them, you know, what's going to happen this weekend and everything. We just had our awards, part of one of our awards presentations, and also we just had a pizza party. And the girls are getting ready, and we're going to be going into rehearsals tonight.
Okay.
So, and then tomorrow, there'll be some interviews tomorrow, and then we'll have a dinner and the talent show, and then we're going to have a pajama party.
All right. So,
and everybody has fun.
Excellent. So, Andrew, you said this is your eighth year. Now, this is a national pageant, correct?
This is a national pageant. That's correct.
So how do the women, how do all the lovely women make their way to become part of the national pageant? Are there local pageants? Well, how is the actual procedure to make it to where you guys now are in Atlanta?
Okay. What it is we don't have any prelim as of yet, but we're thinking of going ahead and having some of the queens have, you know, expressed interest in doing prelims. But right now,
mm-hmm.
what it is, they're interested in becoming a delegate. They fill out an application, and then they send in their headshot, and they start working towards coming to the Nationals, which is held, you know, every April. And they compete for the titles. They compete for elite titles, and they compete for division titles. So they have several chances of winning a national title. So we expand every year. We're getting bigger and bigger.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, well, listen, could you give your website information or any information that you'd like to give so our listeners could actually take note of it?
Okay, our website is www.AmericanBeautiesPlusPageant.com. On the
give it to them one
website,
more time.
Under,
give it to them again. Give it to them one more time.
www.AmericanBeautiesPlus.com.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, you were saying, I'm sorry to cut you off.
That's fine. They can go into how to enter and the application. All the information's on there of what it, you know, what it entails. And it also has an application that they can print out and send.
Excellent. Excellent.
And they can become
a
delegate for their state.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Angela, listen, I want to tell you thank you. Take care of my lovely wife. It's driving me crazy that I don't have her here. But I wish all of you the
best. I will take care of her.
Thank you so much. All of you ladies and winners in my eyes, and I hope that it continues to grow into something outstandingly beyond your dreams. So I thank you so much for coming on and taking a couple of minutes with us.
I appreciate it, and thank you for letting me be part of it tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Angela,
I'll give you back to your lovely wife.
There you go. Oh, thank you.
I have to apologize to Angela later for putting her on the spot.
Wow. Impromptu interviews. Go ahead, honey. I ain't mad. You better be giving out business cards while you're down there, too. I'm going to have to rough you off.
Of course. You know what? I told people that you would kill me if I did not have my business cards, which I usually forget. But in the meantime, before we go to rehearsal, I have one more person that I want you to speak with. And
all right.
This is Natasha Coleman. And she's the delegate liaison of American Beauties Plus.
Okay. Have her come on. Natasha Coleman, come on.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. Natasha, how are you?
Yes. I'm great. How are you?
I'm excellent. Excellent. Why don't you take a minute out to introduce yourself to our listeners so they can get to know who you are and what you do?
Okay. I am Natasha Monique Coleman. I'm from Panama City, Florida. I competed at the 2009 American Beauties Plus pageant as Mrs. Florida. That same year, I won the 2009 Mrs. American Beauties Plus. I won photogenic, I won talent, and I won spokesmodel that year. And I've been involved with the system ever since.
Wow. Go ahead, girl. You just got all the crowns. Just came home with everything.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Clean up on aisle three. That's what I came to.
So Natasha, let me ask you a question. So you said you're from Florida. How did you get into the whole pageant thing? And what was that journey like? Quickly, if you can let our listeners know, what's that been like? How did you get started, and how did you get to where you are now?
Well, I was dealing with some depression, and I felt like I was just, you know, the twins' mother and my husband's wife, and I really didn't have my own personality. So when my husband kept telling me, you know, you need to find a hobby, you need to try to find something to do, find a hobby, I started looking into pageants, and I didn't know it was a plus-size pageant. I competed my first year in Dallas, Texas in 2008 as Mrs. Florida with another plus-size pageant system. Then I came here and won the national title. Then I went to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and competed in my last plus-size pageant, and I won that title of All-American Classic Mrs. And I've been doing very well since then. Since then, I've lost. I've had a 219-pound weight loss, so I'm no longer able to compete in plus-size pageants, but I'm still very involved with the pageant system, and I still represent the plus-size married woman. That's what I do.
Wow. Well, first of all, congratulations on the weight loss. That's tremendous. Let me ask you a question.
You.
Now, plus size, I know, of course, what plus size is, but for anybody listening, what actually is plus size? Because now that you said that you can't compete because of the weight loss, what is actually plus size, and what's the range for anybody that might be listening that might be interested in becoming a plus size model? And guys, before she answers, yes, we're going to get back to the child support conversation, but when the wife calls in and she's doing what she do, I'll let anybody ride. So go right ahead, doll.
Okay. All right. Plus size pageants usually start out at size 14 women, which is actually the national average of women these days. Some of the plus size pageants start at size 16, and it really depends on your waist size, just to make it, you know, easy so everything is done correct, and you know, it's a fair game for everyone. So usually they start at about size 14 and just go up from there. I've competed as large as size 32 and actually won a national title at size 32. So it's really no discriminating, you know, as far as plus size, just plus size. If you have what it takes to win the title, you'll definitely bring it home as long as you believe in yourself.
That's what I'm talking about. And guys, let me tell you something. If y'all understand what she says, 32, that's a lot of women. So don't step up if you're not ready. That's all I'm telling
that's
you about
right.
a 32. You can't come weak to no 32. You might get hurt.
No.
Well, darling, listen, all the best to you. Congratulations on the weight loss. Congratulations on still supporting what has done tremendous things for you. And I know that you're going to be
an
inspiration to others to go the same way. And listen, show my wife all the things that got you the crown so she can come home with a crown.
Yes.
And we great.
That is my intention. You have a good evening. Thanks for having me.
Oh, before you go, do you have any website, any information that you want to give out to our listeners? So if they want to find you and just, you know, pick you up and say something, anything you want to give out to the listeners?
Yeah, right now I'm doing a weight loss support here in my city, well, in my city, in Panama City, Florida. I have a fit club that I have on a local level, but I also do weight loss coaching. You can catch me on Facebook, and I also have a Blog Talk Radio site. It's Natasha Monique. Actually, it's Total Health with Natasha Monique, and it's basically inspiring women just to remind them about how important they can be to also not only take care of your husbands and your children, but not to forget about yourself. You can still be a plus-size, curvy woman, but, you know, fitness is still, you know, on the forefront. And basically, all I do is just inspire. I want to be the face of the morbidly obese woman to show her that she can get to a more healthy size and still be able to keep her womanly curves. That's my platform.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. You can be thick, but you got to be healthy. That's what it's about now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I thank you so much for coming on and sharing that with us. All the best, you guys. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy yourself. And like I said, all of you are winners in my eyes. So God bless to all of you.
Absolutely. And thank you for sending your wife. And here she is.
All right.
Thank you. Hey, honey.
What's up, darling? All right, now, may I get back to talking about child support, man? You got me all the pageant stuff, but I know it's a dream of yours, so I'll rock with it since you're not here and I got to do this by myself.
Yes, you can go back to talking about child support, and I thank you for letting us call in for a few minutes to talk about the pageant.
Not a problem.
So I'm going to get ready for rehearsal. I love you very much, and I can't wait to see you on Sunday.
I got you, baby. Do your thing. Go bring home the crown, baby. All right?
All right.
And turn your phone off so you can't be bothered. Go focus on your thing and go get that crown. I love you to death. All right. Oh, that was Tiffany Braxton Belvin, my lovely wife. We have a caller on the line. Pat, are you on the line?
How are you?
How we doing, Pat? How's it going?
Everything's okay. I'm blessed.
All right. All right. That's it. Did you call in about the pageants or the child support? Because, you know, my wife tried to change the
child
whole thing.
Child support. Yeah.
All right, Pat. So what's your question, comment, concern? How can I help you?
It's not my concern. It's my concern is that when
a man have to let a white man tell you take care of your children? That's a shame.
Yes, you know what it is? All right. Well, first of all, I don't think the color has anything to do with it. If anybody has to tell a man to take care of his children, it's the same. So I'm not going
to
I'm not going to lie.
I didn't mean to say it like that, but come on.
No, but I got you. But I'm not going to rock with the racial part because
Me either. I take that back.
There's some black judges. There's some mean black judges, too, because I had a sister that tried to do me dirty, but I had to remain calm because she was trying to upset my calm, but I was good because she thought.
But, see, why would you wait till that person have to tell you, you know, to take care of your children when they both lay down together? You understand? Y'all could come and talk about it first. That's what I did.
Yeah, true. I agree with you.
I went and talked about it to that man. He said, give me $100 a month. I said, what? Oh, no.
$100 a month? We going to give $100 a month.
Come on.
We going to give $100 a month.
Now you, huh? What you
said? $100 a month.
What am I going to do with $100 a month? Come on. It took me a long time to take him.
You know,
now,
exactly.
He's 14 years old now. You're going to give me $100 for how?
Let me ask you a question, Pat. Uh-huh. When you went to court, I mean, that's off, but I just want to make sure the callers can get the full aspect of what's going on. When you went to court, how old were your children when you went to court?
When I went to court, she was like, I think, 13.
13. So now, for the 13 years leading up to that, he wasn't doing any of the things that he was supposed to do?
No.
Okay. See, now this is what I was talking about earlier. Anybody that's listening, see, now that's 13 years that he had to work something out that would have been beneficial to each of them.
Mm-hmm.
So once that's not put into place, I have no problem with any parent, male or female, who now decides to go and get the enforcement or the help to get what they need to continue taking care of a child. Because as Pat just said, you know, brothers and sisters, not just men, but women too, if they're in a reverse situation, everybody wants to try to lowball the significant other who has the child. You cannot do that. This money has to be paid.
And yeah.
If you're not going to be there, your money should be there for that parent to do what they do.
And you're right.
And I think this is where a lot of folks get it twisted because it's like, oh, you taking me to child support. No. You had 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
13 years. You could have worked something out financially. So, Pat, again, let me ask you this question, Pat. If he comes to you and he offers a fair amount but says, I need you to get a letter notarized saying that I'm giving you this amount per week, per month, would you have been okay with that?
Yes.
See?
I wouldn't have had a problem with that.
And I'm glad that you said that because most people, if it's fair, they're not really trying to thank you. There's some out there.
No, because I'm trying to work with you.
Exactly.
And that's the problem. I know you got bills. I know you got this and this to pay. I understand. But when I took it to court, my hands was up.
Yeah.
I didn't care no more.
So what was your experience once you went to court? How did that play out?
It was fine. He looked at me like, you know, he can't stand me, he ain't talking to me. All this other stuff came up behind that. He don't want to talk to me no more. I'm fine with it.
I got you. So, again, so when you were sitting in, were you in Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan? Where
in the Bronx.
In the Bronx. Okay, so when you're sitting there in the Bronx, could you just describe for the folks that listen that maybe never experienced that, what does that look like? Because I know what that looks like. When you sit
what do it look like? We both sitting in it. It's just sitting there, not saying nothing to each other.
Well, I see everybody's doing the same thing, kind of just staring across.
Just sitting there, just looking at each other across, like he's probably saying something under his breath. I probably was. You know what I mean? And
I
that's it.
I got you. So now when you saw the judge, how many times did you actually have to go to court?
One time.
To get everything? One time, right?
That's it.
Yeah, and I try to explain that to a lot of female friends. And I speak directly to the females on this comment, and Pat can chime in too. I say this to a lot of the females that I'm friends with, is that they think it's a long, drawn-out process. You might only have to go to court once or twice.
You go once or twice. What they will make you do, they will ask you just like this. Now, he didn't have no pay stubs, no nothing with him.
Uh-huh.
I took it from his mouth. And the judge asked me, if that's okay? I say yes.
I got you. And then you had to actually bring your paperwork, too. To show
I had to bring mine
doing.
In because I had a job. And that's what I was going to say on that subject, too. If the parent is a young woman's working, and the man is working at the same time, they're going to go by each income.
Well, yeah,
and
I was going to get to that, yes. They add
that's
it together
how they,
and then split it in half.
Yes, that's how they, you know, do. When I, my child was, because I was working, I worked, and she was my only child at the time. Plus, I needed a babysitter because I was working at night. So,
okay.
What he told me was just actually, do you want him to pay half? I said, yes. Turned around, got in the hallway, he begged me, please don't do this to me. Please don't do this to me.
Well, too late.
And I said,
point.
You know what, by me having a heart of God, you know what? I said, you know what? You can go ahead. I won't take it from you, brother.
You're very nice.
Because you have
you're
to live.
Very nice. Well, you know what? And you were very nice and nicer than
I was. But the reason why I did that, because he wasn't very rude to me.
Okay.
Now, if he was rude to me, I'd have got him. I'm going to just
yes,
you would
have, because that's another thing, too. And, again, that is one of the things that I'm going to explain going forward in
uh-huh.
a few minutes, is that I'm explaining, like, what the percentages are, how they come up with the amounts. And exactly
I think
what
it's like 3% or 5%.
It's much more than 3%. Actually, I'm going to explain it all when we come back after the break. So I'm not going to give away those numbers right now. But
oh,
Pat,
okay.
I'm so glad that you called in because it's one thing to hear me say it, but I love when the callers come in and give it because there's so much that could be done before you get to court.
Yes,
but it doesn't have to come to that. Now, I'll give you a little about myself. Is that my ex attempted to take me to court the minute that she saw teachers got a raise back in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
She heard that teachers signed a new contract and we was making more money. All of a sudden, I got served with papers to come to court. But the difference was that we had a divorce decree. It wasn't you dragging me into court because I'm not taking care of my responsibilities. I left my ex in 2000. And in 2000, I started giving her money. But the first thing I asked then was, may I give this paper signed because I need this and I'm giving you money because I don't want you later on saying I'm not giving you money for our
yes.
time. Now, that was 2000. 2003, our divorce was officially final, which the prelude was all the money that I had been given from 2000 was the groundwork for our divorce, which we agreed to. So in 2006, when we went to court, I tried to explain to her before we even got to that point. I said, when I got the papers, I said, you know, you're wasting the court's time. You can't go to court to get more money. This is what you agreed to. And she cursed me. She went through. And I think a lot of the venom was because Tiff and I was now dating, and it was he got a new relationship. He got a new woman. All of that. But one of the things that I tried to explain to her, and I stayed very calm, I said, at no time have I ever not taken care of my son. At no time have I ever been disrespectful to you. Because we're not together is not a reason for you to try to go to court for more money. Because all you're going to get is embarrassed. And I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying that the courts take it serious.
They do.
Wasting time. So
they do.
So she's like, I don't care. It was very disrespectful. Slammed the phone down. So I wasn't saying nothing. Waited till the day we went to court. The day we went to court, Tiffany was with me. We sat there in court. And she came in with this. It was a venom. Like look to her face. I mean, it was so venomous. The look that she had gave both of us. You'd have thought that I was beating on her in the marriage, and I wasn't. I was the best husband, but I wasn't what that face required. But okay, when they told the things, when she started to explain why she was here, she started running down all the things that she had. She had bills. She had a house. She had a car. She had this. The judge said, okay, but what about the kids?
Yeah.
And she said, what do you mean? He said, well, miss, let me explain something to you. You're here to say you need more money because the money that he's given is not working for you and the kids. How is it affecting the kids? She had no answers. And then when he tried to explain to her that a divorce decree is a contract, he said, did you sign this? She said, yes. So you agreed to the contract. You now can't come in and try to force more money out. So then she's like, I want him to pay for college. He said, well, did you write that into the contract? He said, no, you forced him to pay for college if you didn't write it. Now, if you two work it out and come back to the table, I'll gladly add it. He said to her, if I agree to something on Monday and think it's a good idea, but by Friday I change my mind, if there's nothing in writing, there's nothing that can be done.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
After going back and forth, the judge basically told her, you know what, I'm sorry. This is not going anywhere. And basically said, that's it. We walked out. I think I said maybe a couple words. And
yeah.
That was it. He left so upset. But the idea was, I tried to explain this to you before.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to hear it. Now, 6 years later, she attempted the same thing last year because I now have a business. I sell books. And
uh-huh.
I think when you do a search of my business, it says the estimate of what my business could be.
Be, oh,
and
okay.
Somewhere it's like $249,000. I fell out laughing when I researched this. I said,
uh-huh.
Wow, I got a business worth $250,000? Well, somebody must have stole my money.
Yeah, and she probably wanted to run with it.
So, sure enough, we right back in court again, but this time, same judge, same
wow.
court, same outcome. And there was no reason for me to get bent out of shape. And she even said to the judge, he has a boatload of money. I said, really? And he stole the boat.
Wow.
Because I ain't got it. And she got the same outcome. And this time she tried to say, well, she wasn't working and she lost a job. He said one
mm-hmm.
thing to her. Were you working at the time that you signed the contract? She said,
mm-hmm.
yes. He can't be held accountable for what happens in your future. I can't hold him accountable for what happens in his future. This is the contract. This is what it is. And then, only thing I said was, judge, in a month, my son turns 21. Do I need to come back to court, or should we take care of this now? He said, I will take care of this now. And he reduced it.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is I was willing to leave it at the
uh-huh.
amount that it was. But once you come in and try to do me dirty.
Oh, no.
The second time. And that's why I'm signing with you. You said, well, if it had just been polite, we'd have been good. I would have
mm-hmm.
left the money to see where it was. My son turned 21. The other one at 17. Fine, I would have left it as is. But once you try to come in, I felt like you're trying to take money from my other children.
Yeah. They don't think about that.
No. And so she lost $300 a month. Instead of gaining, she actually lost. And I didn't have to do nothing but ask a question.
Mm-hmm. But can I tell you something?
Sure, go
when
ahead.
You have more than one children, I don't care who has the children. It could be your wife having children, another girl have yours, and another girl have yours. That first one always get the most.
Well, yeah. Well, you're going to get in that, too. Whoever goes to court first will get the initial.
Yeah.
But they do the law.
Uh-huh.
They are fair with it in this aspect. They do look at what that child, because I have another support payment that I'm making, so it actually was in place before my divorce, and so nothing really changes. I'm actually
uh-huh.
paying more with the second. The thing is, it's
get
really
out of here.
Yeah, well, if you read my book, From Gigolo to Jesus, I have 5 children with 6 different women. I listen, I'm not proud of it. It's what I
you
was.
No, but everybody makes some mistakes, hey. Not mistakes,
it's
not a mistake. It's
no,
things happen.
It was bad choices, but you know what? When you live your life thinking a certain way, you're
yeah.
going to do certain things. So
yeah, you're
going
to do certain
I
things.
I was thinking with the lower half of my body, and so
mm-hmm.
that's the situation. But I have no problem because, you know, my support payments are made on time. I have no problem. One is already off. But the thing is, the first person that goes to court, yes, will get
uh-huh.
more based on. But what they will do, the courts will look at the percentages of what's
uh-huh.
left and make arrangements. And the father is going to have to take some hits because what the court is going to say is, you knew you had multiple children. You should have took the steps necessary to make those payments. And they don't care if you lose your house, car, whatever.
They don't care.
As long as the amount that they take doesn't push you under the poverty line. If the amount that they take lower you under the poverty line, well, then they can't take that much. But if you go over the poverty line, listen, they can put you as close to it as possible
yeah.
as long as you don't go under.
Uh-huh.
But listen, Pat, we have another caller. So
all right.
I thank
it's
you
nice
so much
talking
for
to you.
I appreciate you supporting the show.
Same
and
to
so,
you.
Yes, please tune in every week. Tell a friend to definitely check us out. Okay?
I definitely will. I just got the thing on my Facebook, so I'm like spread it out on it.
Thank you so much.
All right, you take care, okay?
All right, Pat.
All
thank
right,
you for
thanks
calling
a lot.
In.
All right, you have
that's
a blessed
Pat,
evening.
Everyone.
Okay.
We have another Bye. Young lady on the phone. Angie, are you on the line?
Yeah.
Hello, Angie.
Yeah.
How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I am great. How's it going? Okay.
Everything's going as is, you know.
All
good.
Right. So I
it's
know
good.
You want to
I'm
chime in on this child support conversation.
Yeah. So what is the actual question or topic?
No, we're just talking about child support in general. What I'm just trying to do is try to put information out that will help folks to get an understanding of what the child support is. Actually, I'm going to give out the websites where they can go to get more information, as
uh-huh.
well as I'll give out the numbers of what the percentages are of what can actually be given to the custodial parent, and that's the parent that has the child. So we're just, it's open. So if anything that you want to mention about the child support, we can definitely talk about it if you like.
Which is the 17% of your income.
17% for one child, 25% for two children, 29% for three children, 31% for four children, and 35% for five children or more off of his gross
income.
What he gets before taxes, and then what is left is his. But wait a minute, and actually Pat brought up a good point. If you are working, and the father or mother is working, they combine the two of your income, split it in half, and then they charge those numbers against the half. So if you're making 50 and I'm making 100, they put the 150 together, it comes to 75,000. Of the 75,000, if I have three kids, at 29% of that 75,000, not of his 100.
Yep. That's why I understand. But my thing is, if you're dealing with mature people and stuff like that, if you can avoid that, avoid it. I've been there, done that. Well, at one point when I was on child support, I was on social services at the time. So they actually took the father to court. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, they want their money back. They don't want to pay for a mother if a father's out there. They demand that information.
Right.
They'll tell you who's the father because they want their bread back.
Absolutely. And they get theirs before anybody else get there. So... You know,
exactly.
I'm glad you brought that up
because that's a good point, because I had that written down on my notes too, is that if a mother is getting help, getting assistance from the city and state, the state and the city does not want that parent being nursed by them if there's a father out there possibly living that can take care of their children. They don't want that. Or mother.
Exactly.
I definitely don't want to make this a one-sided thing. I know more women would want to call in. But whoever the parent is who's not living with the child, if you are working and out there doing your thing and your significant other or ex-significant other or baby or father or whoever child is not working and they're getting social services, they will hunt you down. They want their bread.
They're going to get it. They're going to get that bread. Listen.
They want to make sure, because you might have health coverage that they don't have to pay for. They definitely want the money that they're giving out, because why give out food stamps? Why give out assistance?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they have a problem with giving the assistance, but why give it out if you have the means?
You have
to
other
take
means,
care of your
exactly.
own
child. Exactly. Which it's fair. It's fair.
I find
it fair. If the father or mother, whoever is paying the child support, is able to benefit, to contribute to, to the cause, then why not? You know what I'm saying? Why should somebody else have to take the responsibility of yours? You understand what I'm saying?
But even
in that aspect, with women being on DSS and receiving child support, if they get $300 a month for child support, the woman is only getting $50 of that. You understand what I'm saying? So, like I said, it was more beneficial to me to not be on it and collect the child support as opposed to having social services. You understand what I'm saying?
So let me ask you a question, because you said something very important at the start of the conversation. You said if both individuals are mature, they could work it out. Now, in your situation, what was the reason why you two couldn't come together? Or what was your situation that caused you to have to go to the courts in the first place?
Well, social services took them. I didn't take them. That's my next point. I'm going to tell you what I did.
I
went to the courts. I wrote a letter. I canceled the child support payment. The child support order. The thing is, I could never take him back to child support. You understand? Because we came to an agreement.
Short, 1 second. Anybody listening, what Angie said is very, very important. Once you cancel the order, the only way that you can get that reopened, something major, almost tragic, has to happen for you to bring the courts back involved with the person, with the parent of the child. It has to be Sandy S. It has to be something that's so incredible that the only way that you can need help is from that parent, because once you close the courts out, the courts say, we are done.
Yep, they wash their hands with it.
Anything else. It's kind of like a double jeopardy in regular court. You can't convict the person twice. So once you say to the courts, I want to close this case, and ladies, I'm going to say this to you, because men are very sly, and I know I was one of them. He will make love to you. He will make love to your mind. He will make love to your body. He will say anything to get you to close that case. if he closes that case or you close that case because you think or believe that everything is going to be tremendous or whatever, and men too, I don't want to get some men get twisted too.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have nothing in writing that you can go and sue him for,
right?
Once that case is closed, y'all are done.
And see that, and that's the important thing. We put it in writing. Me and him had our own agreement that what his the part was going to be. You know what I'm saying? So that way I can go ahead and cancel the I canceled the child support order and I canceled the arrears. So it brought him down to zero. You understand? To where? So I said, all right, you know. So we set up the account and he held his end of the bargain. So we didn't have that drama. So where I couldn't take him back to court, because otherwise you got
to
take him to small claims court. After that,
yes, you have to sue him.
You have to actually
sue
him.
Yes.
You have to sue him now.
It's not costly, but it's time consuming.
Exactly. You got to take off work. You got to do. It costs you money to get an attorney if you need to. So it's you know, it's just it's nonsense. Like again, people gotta come to some kind of mature agreement to where this is what's needed. Women gotta stop trying to capitalize off the children and stuff like that, and know that it's about the child, not them.
Great point, because that's so important, and you know. I talk about it often. I have a lot of female and male friends. We go through this and we sit down and talk. The first thing I attempt to do is take the emotion off the table. As a life coach last year, one of the things that I tried to say to the men, take emotion off the table. Because if you're reacting from emotion, you're going to say and do things that could cost you forever.
Absolutely.
So take emotion off the table. You cannot go into that courtroom emotional. These judges see emotional people all day. And I say this all the time. This is why bailiffs have guns. This is why you go through a metal detector with about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 people with guns downstairs.
Come
before
on now.
You even get up there. And the reason being is when you do things emotionally, you say things emotionally, and then you have to pay the consequence.
That's
if you go in calm. Let me tell you, and anybody listen, let me say this to you now. The best person to help you if you can't afford a lawyer, just talk to the bailiffs. The bailiffs are with the judges all day. They know which judges or whatever. And all you got to do is say, hey, listen, what kind of judge am I getting? What should I do? And the bailiff will say, don't speak lower. The bailiff will say, don't raise your voice. Or the bailiff will say, don't be disrespectful. When that bailiff tells you a little report on that judge, take it as grain, take it as inside information, because I'm going to tell you, they're there every day.
Every day.
When I spoke to the bailiff, when I first went in 2006, I was comfortable and confident, but I wasn't, you know, you never know what it's going to be. I didn't want to be back here in court with my ex-wife.
Right,
so when I spoke
to
the bailiff, I said, listen, let me ask you a question. This is what she wants, and this is what I learned, but, you know, am I missing something? He said, brother, you won't even be here that long, because there's no way she should have brought you for that. He said, you have a divorce decree? I said, yeah. He said, you got it on you? I said, yeah. He said, then you ain't got nothing to worry about. Once he told me that, I just sat there, and sure enough, we spent maybe 20 minutes, and the judge didn't even speak to me the first time.
Wow.
The second time was because, and with the second time, which was interesting to me, she was still bitter, and it's been 13 years, she's still bitter.
Mm-hmm.
When she went into to face the judge, now she had the same bitterness for him, and when she was speaking to him, I remember the bailiff saying to me that he was the type of judge that didn't like people being rude, that when my ex said something, he said, excuse me, you're in my court. I just sat back in the seat because I said, okay, you done got the right one now.
Yeah, you
and
don't
sure
even
enough,
have to say nothing at that point. You're like, you know what? You're going to cause your own demise.
He said to her, these are all the places that you look for a job. She said, so was I supposed to write down a conversation? He said, well, when it says all, it means all. You did understand that. And I was like, ooh. And I just sat back and I said, because she now turned the courts against her in terms of, if there was any breaks that she could have got, he wasn't going to give them to her.
She ruined them.
Yeah,
and that's the thing.
Exactly.
Your mouth, let me tell you something. Do you know how deadly the tongue is?
Yes, very.
The tongue is deadly as a nuclear bomb.
So anybody listening,
bomb.
Please understand, gentlemen or females, please go in calm. If you can't work it out, if y'all just can't see eye to eye, ahead of time and court is necessary, respect the fact that these men and women, judges and bailiffs, see some of the craziest people all day, every day.
Every day. You're not going to go in there and beat that system.
Don't go in there crying. Don't look for sympathy. Just go in, ask real questions, and then shut your mouth.
Yep.
Let them do what they do.
And see, you know what people got to understand? You really you can't control how you feel, but you can control how you act.
Definitely.
You understand what I'm saying?
Definitely.
You can control how you act. You have to control that character. You understand what I'm saying? So,
definitely.
Like you said, don't go in there with your emotions on high. I'm gonna go in here and black out and or whatever. You know, sit down and let's answer the questions and answer them truthfully. You know what I'm saying? And then justice will be done either way.
We'll lose a draw.
So,
Listen, I want to thank you for calling in, and it's been tremendous having you on. I hope that you'll continue to listen in every Thursday. My wife will be back from Atlanta, and, you know, we're on every Thursday, same place from 8 to 10, so we hope that you'll tune in. And definitely tell a friend to check us out also, because we're going to be here, and we're going to be trying to cover things like this every week.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Yep.
Thank you so much for calling in. That's
You're
Angie,
welcome.
Everyone.
Okay.
Thank
Have
you
a
so
good
much.
Evening.
All right. You know, guys, I love it when the callers call in. Again, 646-200-3838 if you want to call in and you want to talk. Listen, we can have a conversation about it. This is reality and relationships, and these are the things that we talk about. I want to offer two things. This is for my Christian brothers and sisters. You know, the Bible speaks on this subject, too. So I want to give you two verses. If you got a pen or pencil, grab it so you can write it down. Check it out for yourself. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's just the members of your family. Your children are members of your household. Children are members of your family. Now, Zechariah 11:17. Woe to my worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May the sword strike his arm and his right eye. Let his arm be wholly withered, his right eye utterly blinded. Now, the shepherd is the person who takes care of the flock. If you are that person entitled with taking care of your children, that is your position. Now, you can take that any way you want. You can say, KL, those scriptures don't. It applies in my eyes. If you don't believe it is, that's fine. But you can go and read it for yourself. That's 1 Timothy 5:8 and Zechariah 11:17. Now, the reason why I put that out there is because a lot of folks from religious points of view will say, well, I'm not taking someone to court. Yes, you don't want to seek court first if that's opposite your faith, but you do want to try to work it out with the person directly. But if you cannot, courts are in place to protect children, to protect your interests. Now, let me go back over some things that was brought up, because we did talk about the percentages. Now, if you're not working, and he is or she is, it is 17% of what he brings in before taxes, 25% for two children, 17% for one child, 25% for two, 29% for three children, 31% for four, at least 35% for five or more children. If you need more information, I want you to go to www.childsupport.ny.gov. Let me give it to you again. www.childsupport.ny.gov. Tremendous amount of information. Women, if you already have a child support case in place, you can actually ask for a PIN number, which will allow you to be able to access what's going on with your money. Non-custodial parents, that's us brothers and sisters who are paying, you can actually ask for a PIN number for yourself so you can see that your payments are being made. You can actually get a request to see how much you've paid to date, to see if you've overpaid. Like currently, I've overpaid by almost $2,000. I just have to wait for them to sort it out, and they're going to send me back the money. I'm cool. Because I'm not going to stress. The numbers show it. The lady already said they just got it cleared and my money's coming back to me. Now, did they seize my income tax? Well, I was upset. Now, you may go, well, KL, how'd they seize it? Because I was out of work last year, and so I had arrears. And I had no problem with it because, as I was trying to explain to my ex, I didn't short her just to short her. I was out of work, and I was only working part-time. But I made sure payments was going. I made sure things was there. And it's what it was. And now that I've caught up, and actually, not only did I catch up, I'm ahead, overpaid. Now it's what it is. So, again, you have to get the information that you need. So let me give that to you again. It's www.childsupport.ny.gov. Now, the one thing that you have to consider is that listen to what these two ladies said. And they both sounded very intelligent. They both was on top of their game. And they both sounded like if the men had basically made attempts before it got to that point, things could have worked out. And in Andy's case, when she talked about being on support services, social services, yes, they want their money back. They want their money back. They're not going to sit here and give out food stamps, give out health care, Medicare, whatever, and the father or mother is doing well. Not going to happen. Now, you can get health care, child care, help with educational care. So if your child's going to a private school, depending on how y'all set that up, he might have to pay you part of that, as well as medical reimbursement. Your child needs braces, and braces can be $1,500, $2,000. Just that the child's parent would have to give you half of that back. There's no reason that you should have to lay that out when that money can come back. So it's very important that you know these things and that you sit down and try to work these things out. Now, if he has health coverage, if she has health coverage and you don't, even more important, just say, simply add your children to the health care. It shouldn't cost, unless it costs. Now, if it costs and he complains or she complains, well, that's the reason why you go to court. And you also, to anyone, please do not use the courts as a thug system. Don't try to punk somebody in court. Also, if you go to court and that person gets hammered, like my ex-wife got hammered, I didn't feel good about that. Don't take joy. Don't take joy in seeing the parent of your child beat down in court. Like, that's what you get. No. Even though I wasn't the one that brought me to court, it was her, I didn't take joy in watching her slammed like that. And even after we left, I said, we need to talk. And she was willing to talk. But when I said to her I was going to take time out to think about what we were going to do with the reduction, she got mad because her focus was still on money. When we came down, she wouldn't even get in the elevator with me. Fine, no problem. We got downstairs. I remember I was calling Tiff, because Tiff normally goes with me, but this time she wasn't. I remember I was calling Tiff, and I happened to look through the door, and you could see the anger on her face. And it made me start thinking, what did I do? But then I caught myself, because I wasn't the best husband. And I put some of that anger there. I'm responsible for that anger, but I know I've been doing what I'm supposed to do financially. So I wasn't stressing. Now, one of the things that I want to tell anybody, that if you attempt to take your significant other to court on a gank move where you're like, I'm just going to take them for all I can get, okay, whether it works or backfires, whatever that amount that they're supposed to give you, they're not going to give any more than that. And you really can't ask for anything more. You can, but them saying no, there's nothing that can be done. So be very careful. A win in court could be a loss somewhere else, and you're going to have to hold that. So if it went up $100 a month, yeah, I got you. Yeah, now you got to give me $100 a month. Okay, understand, he or she is not giving anything extra. So if you need more money for graduation or more money for this, or the kid want to do, be careful, because now they may be so hardened in their heart that they don't want to have anything else to do with you other than what they got to pay. And it has nothing to do with them spending time with their kids, because I spend time with my kids. I love my children. I didn't have nothing to do with the mom. We didn't have to speak. I just pull up, let them know I'm outside. I wait. They get in the car. We good. Now that they're grown, listen, when mother and I still don't talk. We just had our first conversation this past weekend. Was the first time we spoke since we were in court back in December. First time. Since that day that I just spoke to you about, where I looked through that door and saw how angry she was when she lost out in court, and basically now she's been getting all the back money, but going forward, in these next couple of months, it's going to be $300 reduction. And in 3.5 years, that's it. And I hope that she's putting the money to the side. I hope she's doing the things necessary, because once my son turns 21, and he's 17 and a half now, that's it. And there's still little games going on, but you know what? I don't get bent out of shape over it anymore, simply because my oldest, who turned 21, he's in college, he just got a good part-time job. He said something to me the other day. We were talking on the phone, and I said, listen, I need you to give your brother some money for me because I can't get out there to Brooklyn. I'm doing something. Can you just take care of that for me? I'll give it back to you. He said, no problem, Pop. But one of the things that he said to me, I asked him, I said, well, you know, why is it that he doesn't have money? He said, Pop, can I be honest with you? I said, yeah, what's going on? He said, well, you know, Elijah asked Mom a long time ago. She only did that on purpose, so told him to ask you. That's really messed up. Why would she do that? And one of the first things I had to catch was I was not going to allow my son to think anything more negative about his mom than he already does. I said, stop right there. Don't you concern yourself with why your mom did that. Don't worry about it. Just give your brother the money that I asked. Don't worry about it. He said, but Dad, mom has always stopped. Don't want to hear it. I don't care what your mother's always saying. I don't care about any of that. You just ignore that the best you can. Focus on you. Focus on college. Focus on work. That's it. And I said, did you offer your mom the money per month like I asked you to? He said, yeah, but she said she didn't want it. I said, okay, but you offered. That's it. Because I'm not going to allow my sons to take on that anger that she has for me. Because actually my oldest has had the reverse. It's had the reverse effect on him. He actually calls me with venom in his voice towards her, and I don't like that. But I can't change it because he lives in the house and she keeps pumping him full of it. Now, the younger one, the 17-year-old, that's the baby to her and to him. And one of the things that I realized with that is when I left, when we separated back in 2000, the youngest was only 4, the oldest was 8. Going on 5, the oldest was 8. So actually the older one remembers what the marriage was like and what being separated has been about 50-50. But the youngest one has been in the divorce mode longer than he was in the married mode. So, of course, he clung closer to mom. I have no problem with that. But what I do have a problem is that both of them can see that there's still some negativity and some dirt there. I won't allow that. Not on my end anyway. And we got to understand that we play a role in what's going on with our children, whether we're in the house or not, if you're the non-custodial parent. Many a times that my ex has tried to, and the reason why I bring up my ex more than my other children in terms of child support is because I don't have any issues with the others. There's no nothing. There's the money, it is what it is, and we're good. We don't even really have that many conversations other than just when we're going to see the children now. Two of my kids are grown, so they're out on their own doing their thing. One is you got to read my book to understand what the other situation is with one. That's a whole other story for another night, and it has to do with when are you going to admit that I'm the father of the child and come clean with your own dirt. But you got to read my book to understand what that is. That's a whole other show. And then my youngest, who's in Maryland, we have a wonderful relationship, but his mother and I really don't have a whole lot to say. Why? Because for the first 7 years of his life, she lied and told me that he was living in Virginia when actually he was living 10 minutes away from me where I lived in Brooklyn. He was 10 minutes away. I was in Canarsie. He was in Flatbush. But that's my own fault because I didn't press hard enough to see him like I should have. So once I went to court, we got everything straight. Since the last 6 years, we've been great. Now, it bothers her a little bit, but I can't concern myself with that. I got to be dad to that young man, and that's what I am. And we talk, and he comes up with me in the summertime. He comes up for the holidays. We're good. And I'm doing the best I can as a father with multiple children. That's why I work so hard with young men to get them to never be in this spot with having multiple babies, and you can't be the dad that you want. Because money, it takes money to raise children. I ain't got to tell anybody listening that. You know that if you have children. So when it comes to court, once you start to go to court, those emotions are going to run all over the place. And as you heard when, I believe it was, when Pat called, I want to get the names right, when the first young lady, when Pat called in, and she said, you know, a man that has to be made to take care of his children. And I feel what she was saying when she said about, you know, black man, but it's really not a color thing because there's some rough black judges. But like I said, anybody having to force you to take care of your children, yes, that's a bad situation. So I'm 100% agreement with that. Is that when somebody has to make you take care of your children, there's something wrong with you. And I'll say that to any man or woman on this planet. Now, you can only do but so much, then do it. If you only got 20 hours in a day, find 6 or 7 of those to give to your child. If you only have $10, find a way to give them 3, 4, 5 if you still need the rest to be able to live. Because you know what? You created them. You owe them that. That's why I'm a big supporter of anybody going to court to get it worked out. And even if you don't want to use the money, put it in a trust. Learn what trusts are. Put the money there so when they get 18 or when they get 21, excuse me, New York is 21, there's only 4 states that go to 21 automatically. The other 46 states, it stops at 18, but you have to put in a request to go to 21 because the kid is considered to be in college. New York, Utah, and 2 other states go straight to 21, which means they take it right up until the child is pretty much a junior or senior in college, and then that's it. So don't make any excuses. Well, listen, it's 9:30. It's the bottom of the hour. We cut the break at 9. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a 2-song break, just 2 songs. And we're going to come back. We're going to finish up the last 28, 29 minutes and close this off. I'm having a ball with this. Again, this is Reality in Relationships. If you want to call in and ask any questions, please, 646-200-3838. That's 646-200-3838. I am your host, KL Belvin. We'll be back in two songs. And this is Talking About Child Support. God bless.
Have you heard? My word play.